Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
On July 3rd, the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania was announced. On July 6th, the shooter registered to attend the rally and performed a search for, quote, how far was Oswald from Kennedy? On July 7th, the shooter traveled from his home to the Butler Farm Show grounds and remained there for approximately 20 minutes. We assess this shows advanced planning and reconnaissance on his part. On July 12th, the shooter traveled from his home to the Clareton Sportsman Club, where he practiced shooting. On the morning of July 13th, at approximately 10 a.m., the shooter returned to the farm show grounds and remained there for about 70 minutes before returning home again. At approximately 1:30 p.m., while at the residence, the shooter's father gave him a rifle for the purpose, he believed, of going back to the sportsman club. About 25 minutes later, the shooter purchased ammunition while en route to the Butler Farm Show grounds.
I think that's one of the weirder little elements of this TikTok that Paula Bate, the deputy director of the FBI, was giving to Congress last week, is that he didn't even have ammunition until he was on the way to the site. But okay, you just learn a lot of things by putting all these pieces in order together.
The subject then arrived at the scene, was moving around the farm show grounds close to the American Glass Research AGR building, from which he ultimately committed the attack. Shortly thereafter, at approximately 3:51 p.m., the shooter flew a drone approximately 200 yards from the farm show grounds for about 11 minutes. The drone and controller were later found in the subject's car. Analysis has not revealed any photos or video taken by the drone, but we can confirm that he was live streaming at the time and would have been able to view it on his controller.
And by the way, he said prior to all this that they found two IEDs in the car and one in the home that had been recovered, improvised explosive devices. Back to the timeline from Deputy Director Abate.
The first reported sighting of the shooter by local law enforcement was at approximately 4:26 p.m. At approximately 5:10 p.m., the shooter was again identified by local law enforcement as a suspicious person around the AGR building. And at approximately 5:14 p.m., a local SWAT operator took a photo of the shooter. At about 5:32 p.m., local SWAT observed the shooter next to the AGR building using his phone, browsing news sites, and with a rangefinder. At approximately 5:38 p.m., the photo of the shooter taken earlier was sent to local SWAT operators in a text message group. Subsequently, approximately 25 minutes prior to the shooting, the U.S. Secret Service command post was notified of a suspicious person.
So you get everything in order there, including the photograph being taken that we've heard about previously from the SWAT team and, you know, the rangefinder and sending the photo around and then eventually notifying on the radio. Now, the director of the FBI, the Secret Service, the interim director right now, Ronald Rowe, he says that his team had no idea there was anybody up on the roof, there was anybody with a gun on the roof at any point until the shot started getting fired. Okay, so that's going to be important to match up with this next series of events.
Officers lost sight of the subject from approximately 6:02 p.m. to 6:08 p.m., but continued to communicate with each other in an attempt to locate him. Recently discovered video from a local business shows the shooter pulling himself up onto the AGR building rooftop at approximately 6:06 p.m. And at approximately 6:08 p.m., the subject was observed on the roof by local law enforcement. At approximately 6:11 p.m., a local police officer was lifted to the roof by another officer, saw the shooter, and radioed that he was armed with, quote, a long gun. Within approximately the next 30 seconds, the shots were fired.
Now, that's a very short period of time, okay? 6:06 getting up on the roof, 6:11 shots fired. That's 5 minutes. 5 minutes to assemble a gun that they say couldn't have fit in the backpack. 5 minutes to retrieve a gun from the backpack that it wouldn't have fit in. Or from, I mean, wherever, if it had been placed somewhere, it's not clear. None of that is particularly clear at this point. To encounter the police officer, to threaten the police officer, make him get back down off the roof, and then to take aim on the president and shoot the shots, eight rounds that they recovered at the scene. That's a lot to happen in a short period of time. Now, that's the backdrop of, like, the TikTok of all the events. The other key thing that came up in this hearing the other day was that Ronald Rowe, again, Secret Service director, says that he was ashamed to find the roof not better secured after he went and laid on it prone and looked down at where the president would have been speaking to see. But he says, and he said repeatedly, that it is basically the fault of the local sheriff's department.
Based on what I know right now, neither the Secret Service counter-sniper teams nor members of the former president's security detail had any knowledge that there was a man on the roof of the AGR building with a firearm.
He says they didn't know he was up there. The counter-snipers are fully authorized to shoot against anybody that they do see, but it would have been very hard for them to see from where they were at behind the president. But it was really local law enforcement dropped the ball. I'll play that for you in just a second. Austin's got traffic on the fives. Austin?
This traffic update is brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the Best of the Bay winner. That's Barbary Plumbing at 477-8782. Again, that is 477-8782. Looking at the roads here, we do have basically just a bit more of the same. If you're traveling northbound on Palafox Street, passing Tahar Drive, we do have some backups developing over there. And same can be said for Highway 29. If you're traveling southbound towards Detroit Boulevard or northbound just passing 9 Mile Road. Outside of those few spots, though, there doesn't appear to be too much holding you up at this time. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives, Andrew.
Thanks so much, Austin. If you've got a BMW, a Lexus, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, good vehicles you pay extra for, you don't have to pay extra to service them. You might think you do. Got to go to the dealership. You don't. You can go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway, and also a second location they just opened on Highway 29 across from the Walmart. Okay, so either location, they service those vehicles. They'll save you the time of driving to a dealership if it's a ways away, the gas, the inconvenience, obviously the money. Domestic cars, too, you know, they work on the Ford. Okay, they don't just work on the Audi. They'll take care of those as well. And the idea is preventative maintenance. Like, fix the problem before it's a problem. Catch the problem in the early phases, and then it's less expensive and less inconvenient to fix it. The idea there is it saves you money, saves you time and inconvenience. Because, you know, if you find it when it's a catastrophe, like, the whole car is broken. Well, tow it in, but, you know, that's not the ideal time to fix this stuff. That's why you do that routine preventative maintenance to avoid those problems before they become big problems. That philosophy is contained in the name of their website, carclinicservice.com, like a healthcare clinic for your car. See them more often so that you don't have to see them as unexpectedly. Located on Davis Highway and also now on US 29 across from the Walmart. Okay, back to these comments by Ronald Rowe, the acting director of the Secret Service. I heard this and I watched him give his pictures and I cringed, and I'll tell you even more why I cringed after doing some research.
This is from the second floor of the AGR building. This point of view is the point of view where the counter-sniper team locally was posted. The gold arrow indicates where the shooter fired from. Looking left, why was the assailant not seen? When we were told that building was going to be covered, that there had been a face-to-face that afternoon.
And again,
this view is a reenactment by one of my agents.
So laying on the roof.
Laying flat. There is a 5-inch rise on the middle of that roof.
Obscuring him.
The assailant would have had to present his bore over that to get his shot off. The view underneath reflects the perspective that he would have had. Again, I call your attention back to the first exhibit if they'd have looked left.
You know, there's some video out there of the guy kind of walking across the rooftop. Now we know that it wasn't just carefully climbing up into a sniper position, that he should have been a little more easily seen. But still, you know, from a prone position, hard to see from the counter snipers behind President Trump. And then last one on this, just again, to hear who he's blaming.
When I show you the perspective from when our sniper saw, he's on the downside of that ridge roof.
Away from the president.
Their perspective from the AGR building, looking out, their area of responsibility, looking left, they should have been able to see. You can see in that photo in Exhibit A, which we will make part of the record and turn over to the committee. He's already crossed over that bridge or the walkway and stepped up onto that roof. I'm not saying that they should have neutralized him, but if they'd have just held their post and looked left, maybe.
Implying that they abandoned their post and or didn't do their job looking left to see so easily what could have been seen. Of course, what we found out from them in follow-up reporting is that they were behind a window, behind a screen, away from the wall, in an area underneath at a lower the second floor of that building elsewhere, that they couldn't see him unless they put their head out. And they were told to stay hidden because they weren't supposed to create a scene by being seen. It wasn't until after you opened the window and heard the shots and could look out that you could actually see anything from where they were. So where they were positioned was a terrible position, arranged by the Secret Service, and then blamed afterwards when they couldn't see the shooter. That's one possibility. Of course, you know I've made this comment so many times. The other possibility is that somebody put all this together. And if you were putting something like this together, and I hate to say it. I hate to think this way. I do. Every time I have to say it. But if you were putting all this together and you were trying to create somebody to blame for being unable to see a thing that you can just say they should have seen it, or would you put them in a place where they couldn't see it? You follow? So this is continuing to be bad. And it's worse even if it's just incompetence, because now the Secret Service is blaming local police, who they need all the time for presidential events or candidate events or protectee events. They need to be able to, you know, Escambia County Sheriff's Office, you're the SWAT team. You want to work with the Secret Service right now? When they're going to blame you if something happens, your PPD, your Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, you want to work with them right now? When they're not only going to blame you, but lie about you? I mean, this is really, really bad. And then, you know, you have things like they didn't have a drone up because it wouldn't work with the local cell service. It's dependent on that. They didn't have a unified radio channel. You can't pull that off. Again, you know, and nobody's been fired, apparently, because they're wanting to do the investigation, which you can understand that. But also, good Lord, you know, people need to be fired unless the people who are responsible. And again, listen, every time I say this, I hate that I'm saying it. But you have to think of two possibilities, right? Is it incompetence or is it competence? Unless all the people who are responsible for making all the bad decisions and mistakes are all involved. Complicit. Now, are they protecting each other and CYAing for incompetence, or are they protecting each other and CYAing because it's worse? And I don't know. I mean, they're both bad. There was a letter written by one of the members of the Secret Service. I'm going to read you this letter. It's awful. It was read in the, a part of it was read in the hearing. Thank you for the backing and support. I'm not stopping until it's hard to make out because it's a little bit faded. It was basically printed off of an email. Until high-level supervisors, one down, are either fired or removed from their current positions. The agency needs to change, if not now, when? The next assassination attempt in 30 days? Because we all should expect another attempt to happen before November. We've exposed our inability to protect our leaders due to our leadership. The technicians who worked on 713 in Butler, Pennsylvania, did their job with their hands tied. Secret Service supervisors knew better, and the foot soldiers working made the best of a bad situation that resulted in a civilian death and a near miss of the protectee and our technician shooting and killing the suspect. I know many look at this, the counter-sniper team as guys who sit on the roof and don't do much, but our responsibility, our mission, is not about protecting an empty White House located at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It's about preventing and stopping another JFK-style assassination in whatever city that may be. Sadly, we have fallen short for years. We just got lucky and looked good doing it. I've conveyed these thoughts to not only supervisors, to include the current captain within counter-sniper team, but those responsible for training us, only to be brushed off as if those with less experience somehow knew more than me. The team I was once proud to be a part of is something I have to now somehow hide as I move into my next career. Who wants to hire a United States Secret Service counter-sniper guy who failed? That's the public perception I'm now faced with. The Secret Service counter-sniper team is a stain I will never be able to cleanse. Some of us take our job and responsibility seriously. Deadly serious. He's capitalized, by the way. I may be overzealous, but after 7 years in the Marine Corps as an NCO and 20-plus years on the Secret Service counter-sniper team, failure is not an option, and on 713, we failed. Not because of commitment or sense of dedication, but because our supervisors, a.k.a. leadership, knew better and thought our mission, our concerns were less than important. The motto of the United States Secret Service, cover your ass. He used the acronym CYA. And every supervisor is doing it right now. It's really bad. Not just because someone died, not just because some people were injured, not just because a protectee got shot. Top to bottom, this is bad. Either way, incompetence or other, it's bad. 725 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Austin's got traffic on the fives.
Looking at the roads here, it's just a bit more of what we've already been touching on. We do have some backups developing that are actually worse than they were before on Pensacola Boulevard. That's Highway 29 if you're traveling northbound towards Burgess Road or southbound passing Burgess Road. We've got some backups going both ways there. Once again, that's on Highway 29 at Burgess. Also, still have some backups on Palafox Street if you're traveling northbound passing Tahar Drive. Outside of that, there shouldn't be too much holding you up at this time. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Consider with me the topic of ego. Proverbs 16 explains that an unchecked, insufferable ego will lead to destruction and to a fall. Ego is your enemy. It's your enemy because it inhibits you from learning. You can't teach someone something that they think they already know. Also, ego is your enemy because it destroys relationships. Eventually, other people tire of you if you're self-absorbed and egotistical. Further, ego is your enemy because it's antithetical to the gospel. After all, it's for by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. And the cure to ego is to have a God confidence. It's okay to be confident in the gifts that God has entrusted to you. To avoid being egotistical, you must never forget that God gave you those gifts. So be confident in Him and then avoid the destruction that comes from an insufferable ego.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying safety for your family, an investment that will hold its value, and something that will last a long, long time. In a few words, you're buying trust. According to Consumer Reports, Subaru's been ranked the 2023 best mainstream automotive brand, and the Subaru Outback has been named the 2024 recommended model. For a limited time, you can celebrate them both with special offers during the Subaru Lot to Love event, now through September 3rd. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. There's certainly a lot to love about a Subaru. Safety, reliability, and owner satisfaction. And we invite you to stop by Anderson Subaru to discover what automotive experts and Subaru owners all know. It's easy to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Learn more at Subaru.com/CR. Consumer Reports does not endorse products or services.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your health care costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions today at 9 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, I'm Rhett Rowell, a lifelong Santa Rosa County resident, and I'm a candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission, District 3. I'm running because Santa Rosa has real problems affecting you every day, including traffic congestion and improper drainage. We can do better. Santa Rosa County needs a unifier, and I am that voice. I would be humbled to receive your vote. From sand to soil across our great county, I will be your common sense conservative commissioner that you will be proud of. Please visit RhettRowell.com to learn more.
Paid for and approved by Rhett Rowell, Santa Rosa County Commission.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 729, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Hurricane Debbie has now made landfall in the Big Bend area. The National Hurricane Center says that came ashore this morning. Winds about 80 miles an hour. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham speaking out against the prisoner exchange between the U.S. and Russia that was negotiated last week. In an interview with Fox News Sunday, Graham said the deal helps Vladimir Putin and said that the swap would encourage U.S. adversaries to arrest and detain more Americans. And Team USA's Noah Lyles is the fastest man in the world. He won the gold medal in the 100-meter race with a time of 9.7 seconds, just 0.05 of a second ahead of Jamaica's Kishane Thompson.
And I love that the commentators were calling it for Jamaica wrongly. Meanwhile, in the background, Noah Lyles.
They're working on the photo. Fred Curley pushed him all the way. Noah Lyles is looking anxiously.
Oh, sorry, wrong part of the clip.
It was a lean at the tape by Thompson. They're working.
Oh, man. Yeah. There it is. I told you I got this. Yeah, he was right. They were not right.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Hurricane Debbie colliding with the Big Bend region in Florida, making landfall in Steinhatchee as a Category 1 storm. Fox Weather's Robert Ray and Perry on the ferocious north side of the eyewall.
Just remarkable. All of a sudden, this whip has come through, and this is the kind of pelting rain that we were concerned about.
Fox Weather storm tracker Brenda Kopic in Cross City, just northeast of Steinhatchee.
Directly in front of me, actually, a tree did start to fall, one of those large trees from one of these strong wind gusts.
And power is already out for hundreds of thousands. Investors seem ready for a major sell-off.
Worries about a U.S. recession intensifying a global stock market sell-off led by Japan's Nikkei, which plunged nearly 12.5%.
Fox's Lillian Wu, opening bell on Wall Street rings at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola, 77 degrees right now. Beautiful morning. Blue skies, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Hurricane Debbie made landfall this morning as a Cat 1 storm in the Big Bend area that's expected to unleash potentially historic amounts of rainfall.
High risk of flash flooding from today in areas from North Florida right through Georgia, coastal South Carolina to Wilmington. When we have a high risk, that's like the equivalent of saying like a high risk of tornadoes. That's life-threatening stuff that's going to be occurring.
That is meteorologist Bill Cairns, and he says what makes Debbie a little bit different than some other storms is that it'll be stalled out and effects could last throughout the week, bringing both storm surge and flooding to the southeast. Also seeing today, President Biden has approved an emergency declaration for the state of Florida. That means federal assets will be responding to that storm there. A Pensacola man arrested for a murder last June at the Forest Creek Apartments. Terrell Griffin has been charged with second-degree murder. Investigators say Griffin has fired several gunshots at an apartment complex. This was back in June of 2023. Those gunshots struck a male victim who was an unintended target. That man was taken to a hospital where he later died. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says they located Griffin on Thursday. He attempted to flee into the water near Navy Point Bridge, but deputies say the Marine unit was able to take him into custody. Well, the teenager hurt while jet skiing in the Choctawatchee Bay near Crab Island last week, now recovering in a local hospital. This was the incident where a former gold medal Olympic swimmer witnessed the crash and then saved the teen's life.
It's been a life changer. Our lives will never be the same again, and I'll never approach my life the same. Just feel so much more connected to life.
That's former Olympian Cleet Keller. He and his wife saw Camden Cooper as he hit a wake on a jet ski, was thrown off and knocked unconscious, was face down in the water. Keller swam to the teen, performed mouth-to-mouth resuscitation as he was treading in the water. Keller and his wife visited Cooper in the hospital over the weekend. He is now recovering from that accident. A car was destroyed by a fire over the weekend. That happened on Saturday morning at Jack's Branch Road and Elizabeth Street. North Escambia reports that firefighters responded to a call for a fully engulfed vehicle on the side of the road. A witness reported that it appeared somebody had abandoned that vehicle shortly before the fire. Investigators are now working to determine the owner of the vehicle. A Coast Guard crew from Miami being credited with helping to rescue two boaters that got caught in the storm. The Coast Guard announcing yesterday the two boaters had been adrift in a sailing vessel about 75 miles off of Boca Grande. Coast Guard plane from Miami was sent to the area, found the two on a disabled boat yesterday. A helicopter was able to hoist them aboard and took them to Clearwater. The two boaters had been missing since Saturday night. It is 7:34, News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Austin, what are you seeing?
Well, the first thing I'm seeing, David, is that this traffic update is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. You can call them today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Man, got some heavy backups on I-10 now. If you are traveling eastbound towards Highway 29, no confirmation of an accident or anything there, not from what I can see on our map here, but nonetheless, look out for that. Also, speaking of Highway 29, if you're traveling southbound towards Detroit Boulevard, we've got some increasing backups over there as well. Outside of those couple spots, though, it doesn't look like there's going to be much holding you up at this time. I'm all surprised with your traffic on the fives. David?
We are going to be seeing a very hot day today with temperatures warming up near 95 degrees. Feeling much warmer, we will be seeing temperatures feeling like the upper 90s to triple digits. 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Tuesday, 20% chance of rain, high near 98 degrees, feeling much warmer. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 79. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it's looking like a beautiful morning right now. We do have partly cloudy skies. 77 degrees in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Pensacola. Ordinarily, we'd have our market report right now, but we're having some technical difficulties getting that for you. Although I will say, taking a look at the futures, not looking good this morning. The Dow futures down about 1,100 points. S&P futures down about 230, actually. And the NASDAQ futures down just over 1,000 points as well this morning. And hopefully we'll get our market update for you next hour. 7:36, your next news at 8, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Some candidates talk about change. While they talk, Commissioner Jeff Burgosh delivers. Real change that matters to citizens. New parks, roads, and sidewalks. More beach access. A new library and fire station. Record revenues, record property values, and higher pay for first responders. Commissioner Jeff Burgosh fights hard for the people of Escambia County and will never raise your property tax rates. Jeff has proven to be a conservative, tested, and trusted Republican leader. And he's being endorsed in this race by some of the most respected Republican in our county, including Sheriff Chip Simmons, State Representative Michelle Salzman, and Congressman Matt Gaetz. As your county commissioner, Jeff has worked tirelessly on behalf of the people of District 1 and Escambia County. On August 20th, re-elect the neighbor you know and the name you trust. Re-elect Jeff Burgosh. Read all of Jeff's endorsements, testimonials, and his strategic plan for District 1 at jeffburgosh.com. Keep leadership that delivers.
Paid for by Jeff Burgosh, Republican for Escambia County Commission.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Hello, this is Don Spencer, Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller. The clerk's office requires a leader that knows the entire office and its operations. That is why I'm endorsing Jason English as our next Clerk of Court. Jason has 18 years' experience in the court system, 3 as my Chief Deputy Clerk. As I retire, he's the only candidate with the education and experience to successfully operate this office. Please join me on August 20th and elect Jason English as our next Clerk of Court and Comptroller. Thank you.
Paid for and approved by Jason English, Republican, Santa Rosa County Clerk of Court and Comptroller.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh my God, I just saw my favorite Turkish sharpshooter meme. It's a picture of Chewbacca and Han Solo and Leia and Luke laying dead with, blaster shots to their midriff on the Death Star. And then it it switches to a picture of him in a stormtrooper outfit. And then written and directed by George Lucas. Like the whole plot would be 18 seconds long. If only the stormtroopers could shoot like the Turks. All right. The other day, had a chance, of course, went to Pascagoula, had a chance to be part of the first civilian group to tour the new USS McCool, and wanted to share some of that with you over the next couple of days because the ship is amazing. Commanding officer and captain of the and rank captain, but commanding officer of the boat, Jeff Baker, introducing us all.
Buddy, I want to. This is really our first real tour. We've had a few people here and there, family members and such, but so I welcome you to future USS Richard M. McCool. This has been our hardest week. This was supposed to be our hardest week, and we finished noon yesterday. We got through our engineering certification, we got through navigation, and we got through force protection in one day.
All right.
So the crew is doing an amazing job. So I'm blessed. I'm an amazing team. They're motivated. I tell them all the time, right now I'm the most overpaid cheerleader in the country. I walk around and pump their fists and ask them how many days we got until we get the hell out of Mississippi. And they can tell you to the hour how many days, right? And I can tell you, it's 21 days.
And he doesn't mean that as a knock on Mississippi. He just means they're eager to get, you know, onto operating the boat, right?
3 weeks from now, we're south, and we're out of here. And we can't wait to get to Pensacola. I couldn't be more appreciative of everything you've done to embrace this ship and my crew. And we feel blessed to commission Pensacola. And that is a swell, right? The last place I ever thought I'd want to go is the birthplace of naval aviation. But I did, for those, some of you know, I did go to OCS there. I left in 98 and haven't been back until we visited again. So. But anyway, we do look forward to it.
And he told us elsewhere that he didn't really want to go to Pensacola for the commissioning. There were three sites that offered, and they thought Pensacola was third, and then they went here, and he's like, Pensacola's first. It's the place.
We're kind of in a stage of deep cleaning now, right? When a ship goes to acceptance trials, it's immaculate, right? A shipyard has it spotless. And then they still own it for 3 months, and they don't care. So it's all on us. But we've been busy. We're catching up, and it'll look really good for us. So you saw our postmates are out there painting the side of the ship. If you're a DDG, they do that for you. If you're an amphib, we got to do it ourselves. I'm not sure who the contracting officer are for the amphib.
They have to compete for DDG work. They don't have to compete for
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
He's saying that the destroyers, they take good care of, and the amphibious ships, well, you can take care of that yourself, which is kind of funny. And then the last thing, just kind of this is a sense of the scope of what they can accomplish.
Yeah, so this space and the one below us and the one above us, this is all marine equipment, right? Trucks. Used to be, when I first started deploying, we had tanks and howitzers.
Just to give you the picture, okay, we're standing in what just feels like a giant warehouse, okay? It's the interior of the boat with, you know, one sidewall, another sidewall, and then just a giant floor space filled with tie-down. They're kind of covered over so you don't trip on them, but... you know, if you've ever been out to like NAS Pensacola for the homecoming air show, you know, all the tie downs for the airplanes, but they're just everywhere. Like they're, you know, every 3 feet or so there's one, because it's all equipment that they tie down when they're storing it and staging it for doing the amphibious landings. Okay. And so it's just this giant deck inside of the ship that's nothing but storage for all the marine gear.
Used to be, when I first started deploying, we had tanks and howitzers and everything else. Now, trucks, could be their medical supplies, but it's all the equipment they need to go fight ashore. It will be loaded. So there won't be, the only thing, they'll have a fire lane, which we're required to have, and that's about the only place you can walk when these ships are loaded out. There's just no space. The Marines do not pack light. They say they're light, you know, we can go and take everything we need for 30 days. I can get them 6 months. I know that.
Do you have just the equipment, or do you have the equipment and the marine?
Yeah, we'll have this ship can embark up to 500 marines. So we'd have 400 to 500 be our portion of the marine expeditionary unit.
So he's got a full bore staff of around 400. He's currently staffed at about 330, I think is what he said. And they carry about 500 marines to station. And they will typically join with another amphibious ship. This is an amphibious loading dock. They'll join with another amphibious ship and then a marine carrier. That's the straight deck instead of the odd shaped deck that you'd see on like the aircraft carriers for the Navy. But they'll join and they'll deliver, you know, 2,200 Marines total on station as part of that whole group. We then got a chance to go, and you go up or down ramps. Okay, there's huge ramps inside that can lower and, you know, to connect the decks that have the various things supplied to them. And you eventually go out to the, it's called the False Beach. Okay, this is the operational interface between the boat and the water, or the boat and wherever they're trying to go. And in this case, we got explanations given to us by Bosun Mate Second Class Cotton.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Warship 29. All right, I'm Bosun Mate Second Class Cotton. Right now, we're standing in front of what's called the False Beach, the ramp down into our well deck. Well deck is responsible for our embarkation and debarkation of all amphibious craft. We have Landing Craft Air Cushion, which is a modified military hovercraft designed to take troops to and from the beach. We can also take Landing Craft Utilities, or LCUs, long barge-like vessels that can pull in, unload more cargo, as well as assault craft vehicles, modified amphibious tanks for Marine departures, right?
What you're picturing, if you're looking out the back of the boat, okay, is you're standing, I don't know, 15, 20 feet up on the deck that had all this stuff on it, and then you're looking down a ramp that then goes to an enormous staging area that is about a foot up off of the water level. You can't see the water because there's a back door, like a lift gate for a truck between you and the water. And that area is the interface. That's the False Beach. That's the stuff. That's where stuff goes to come in and go out of the boat. And to your right and to your left, you have walls that have observation decks and have windshield wipers on the observation decks because it's a hot mess whenever they're doing this stuff and they got to be able to see to keep for safety. But he goes on to explain kind of what they do. Oh, sorry. Let me get traffic on the fives. Sorry, I got to going on all this, but let's get Austin here with traffic on the fives.
This traffic update is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. They're family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. All right, looking at the roads here, there's just a few spots to really touch on at this time. Gulf Beach Highway, if you're traveling eastbound towards Navy Boulevard, we do have some backups there. And still have some on I-10 if you're traveling eastbound, passing over Pine Forest Road and approaching Highway 29. Speaking of Highway 29, that is nightmarish right now. If you're traveling southbound towards Detroit Boulevard, we do have backups there. But looking at our map here and looking at Florida Highway Patrol, there is no confirmation of an accident, at least not yet. However, as you continue southbound on Highway 29 towards Burgess Road, you're going to encounter another wave of congestion there. Outside of those few spots, though, there's not too much holding you up at this time from what I can see. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives.
I got to believe that that's a byproduct of the lane closures on 10 and the ramp closure. I'm just guessing, but that seems like,
yeah,
you know,
we'll have some of those in the afternoon, so it could very well be that, for that sure.
Just, you know, it's just going to be like this through December. Hey, if you need air conditioning, heating, plumbing, electrical work done, Pedant, air conditioning, heating, electrical, and plumbing. They have been operating in the area for 55 years. They have been expanding tremendously. Of course, started in Panama City. I had thought they were in Pensacola originally, so that's my fault. I said that recently, but I was told that was not correct in Panama City. I always correct when I get it wrong. But they've expanded east from Panama City all the way to Tallahassee, and then they've been gradually going west and west and west. Of course, they had this big operation in Ellison Field. Last year, they expanded to Baldwin County. This year, they expanded over to Mobile. So they have really been growing over the last 55 years, you know, taking care of whatever your needs are, professional service, good installation, quality products, and they stand by it with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And because 55 years in service locally, they are doing a couple of specials for you right now. There's no service fee with any air conditioning repairs, and you get $55 off those repairs. If you just want to have an inspection done, it's a $55 inspection, which is significantly less than a lot of things are right now. And then if you actually do have a replacement done, so repairs are no service fee and $55 off, but if you get a system replacement, that's $555 off, which is not too shabby. So whatever your needs are, heating, air conditioning, electrical, plumbing, Pedant, they will take care of you. Find out more at Pedant, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. Back to this description of what they do at the False Beach, which is the interface basically between the amphibious ship and the water. Again, Bosun Mate Cotton talking about how they handle cargo out the back.
The mission of this ship is capable of doing humanitarian and amphibious assault. It's a little bit of everything. If you look around you, you'll see all kinds of tools and equipment around. We have man lifts, cranes, forklifts, all kinds of lines, small boats, everything like that. It's a cargo handling masterpiece.
A cargo handling masterpiece.
In the well, how we bring this down, we can flood it up to 10 foot. On average, for most vessels, troops and everything will come in, we'll close the stern gate in the back behind them, then we'll go ahead and deballast, drain out all the water from the well. Crafts will land on the deck. We'll use these white squares all throughout the well to attach chains and wooden shoring to keep the vehicles in place. Then we'll debark all Marines. This entire area you're standing here, up top, down these ramps right here, are what are called vehicle stowage areas. We will load out to the T Humvees, Connex boxes, trucks, and all kinds of other special warfare equipment that we need to accomplish whatever mission we're on.
Now, for whatever reason, mostly because I was a little overwhelmed by all of it. I mean, just to give you the scope, this is a 680-foot boat. This is a big, this is not some small naval vessel, okay? This is, you know, your cutters are in the 200-foot range. You know, this is like, if you've seen the Coast Guard cutters we have at NES Pensacola, it's three times that long, okay? At least 2.5 times that long. It's a big ship. And, you know, you get in this environment and everything is new and different. You're taking pictures and you're recording audio and you're trying to understand. And he explained all of this, but somehow I didn't catch it. So the bosun mate senior chief, Beckendorf, actually got asked a question by Don Quinn, the retired rear admiral from NETSI, who was a kind of our tour leader. He said, can you just explain the ballasting to them? Because I don't think they get it.
Yes, sir. For ballasting and deballasting. With what that is we have several ballasting tanks. What it means is we have empty tanks on board the ship that we fill with water, with seawater to go ahead and make the aft end of the ship sink down into the water to get the seawater into the well deck to go ahead and land these crafts inside the well. And then after when we're done, we want to raise the ship back up. We flush high pressure air into those tanks to get all that water back out of the tanks and back out into the ocean. That way we can raise the ship back up to normal level.
Amphibious means they sink the back of the boat. They load all of this gear down into the back, and then they sink the boat, open the door and sink the boat, and then everything leaves on little boats. And then if they're loading back in from the beach, the boats come back in, they raise it back up, drain all the water, and then they drive it up into the rest of the ship. I mean, it's an unbelievable operation to imagine, and so I asked the question...
What kind of weather conditions limit those operations?
Weather conditions, it is...
There are various sea states that we can operate in can, so it's...
This is Captain Jeff Baker.
Really, for trying to bring in vehicles, unless it's mission critical, sea state 2 or 3 is about where we want to stay, right? Because they're just... The ship's bouncing up and down, the vehicles are bouncing up and down, it just gets real dangerous. Because along these catwalks, right... Got a bunch of young sailors handling lives. So it can be, look, the well deck's a very dangerous place to operate. We get really good at it, but it's not the safest environment to work in. And if the seas are rough and you know, the ships have been damaged and craft have been damaged coming in and out of the well decks because of sea state. So we really try to be overly cautious when we can.
So if you've got 4-foot waves, that's about the limit that they're saying they like to operate in, sea state 3. And it's pitching and rolling, and they're trying to keep safe, and they're trying to keep from killing people in the disembarkation. I mean, this is a very dangerous thing that they do.
Also, if you're overseas and they got to go, we're gonna get them out and in. But we try to minimize the sea state, and we also, you know, we want to be driving into the seas a little bit for launch and recovery to minimize our propellers. We have huge propellers. Unlike DDGs, they turn in. Instead of outboard, that reduces the weight behind the ship and gives it a little smoother ride in. And that's by design. It makes it less efficient, you know, obviously, but it certainly reduces the weight and allows these craft to come in safely.
So what I was thinking of when I was listening to him talk about this is it's like a carrier in waves and wind.
This is like the waterborne version of landing the aircraft on the carrier, right? It's moving and... You got to guide them in the same
absolutely.
Basic way, with dangers everywhere.
More dangerous, I would say.
Yeah, it seems
absolutely
like.
Absolutely is, because as Boats was talking about, right, you put 10 foot of water back there, it's a lot of weight, so I lose a lot of control of the ship. And we're going about 5 knots, so I don't have a lot of maneuvering capability to bring them in. And they're big, heavy, and they're loaded down with full marine equipment, right? So, that, you know, you're talking probably almost, when they're loaded down, about 1,000 tons. So it is very dangerous. The amphibious sailors get really good at doing it. We do it all the time. is a preemptive guy, but it's okay, something we brief, we talk about, and we have, you know, safety all over the place.
We got, you know, they're watching from up above, right? The reason to have windshield wipers because
the LCACs are blowing. It's just raining in here when we're doing operations, right? So it's loud, it's wet, it's noisy, it's chaotic, but we do it safely.
Loud, wet, noisy, and chaotic, but we do it safely. And I'm just, you know, imagining the sort of organized chaos of all of that in an amphibious landing. It's, which is what they drill on and what they have to be able to do in difficult situations, right? But they always keep a good sense of humor. My favorite part of that, I mean, just, it's always the little stuff, okay? The importance of morale, because as Jeff Baker, the captain, said,
hey, the other part, it makes one hell of a swimming pool. So I'm all for swim call. We'll flood it and we'll have some fun. And to include, you know, they bring these big tri-walls, cardboard tri-walls on board. They make pretty good boats for some races, too.
That's awesome. All right.
So we do have some fun out there. Okay. We just don't tell the boss. We don't put it on Facebook.
Well, till now. I mean, he was talking about putting pickleball courts up in the well, which is a different part of the boat up above where they launch and recapture the ribs and stuff like that. So I'm going to be doing more of this because this is just kind of like the beginning, but that's one of the main operational elements of the ship. Somebody, you should call it a ship. It's not a boat. Well, they are called bosuns, B-O-A-T-S-W-A-N. I mean, you know. Captain of the boat. Anyway, it's a pretty impressive vehicle. So when it comes on September 7th, you want to go. You definitely want to go. Austin has got traffic on the fives.
Well, it's all about Highway 29 right now if you're traveling southbound towards Detroit Boulevard. And then as you continue southbound a good ways towards Burgess Road, we've got some pretty severe backups in both spots there. And then there's going to be some on I-10 if you're traveling eastbound towards Highway 29. Outside of those few spots, though, there doesn't appear to be too much holding you up at this time. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, Spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Blackwater Country, playing the best songs and today's new country. Plus, the Gulfside Market is back tomorrow night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion with Bands on the Beach.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
I'm Earl McCauley, and I'm running for Escambia County School Board District 4. I'm a 22-year teaching veteran and 20-year resident of District 4. Last year, I was the Gulf Breeze High School Teacher of the Year with a 97% pass rate on a challenging AP literature exam. My goals as a board member are teacher retention, middle schools, and addressing issues with books and libraries. Your vote for Earl McCauley on August 20th will bring common sense for the school board. I'm Earl McCauley for School Board District 4, and I approve this message.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
7:59 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a quick headline for us. David?
Well, Hurricane Debbie made landfall here earlier this morning as a Category 1 storm. The National Hurricane Center says Debbie came ashore this morning at the Big Bend area near Steinhatchee with winds at about 80 miles an hour.
As some people are saying, about 1,000 miles east of Dallas.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.